Welcome back, everybody. We do appreciate you being with us. We're going to have a lot of fun here. Falling mortgage rates, really good information for all of us because it's been such a weird home buying market the last 5 years. But they're predicting in the coming year, prices have stabilized. Inventory has stabilized, so there's not that weird competition where you got to go bid on 12 houses to get one.
Sure.
So it should be a good balanced market for the year. Lower mortgage rates will be good for our kids, like you and I talk about. So that's exciting, eh?
You know what? Stabilize is a great word. You and I have lived through some really crazy times.
Oh my gosh!
In this industry, I mean, you said this back in 2008. It's the auto industry does not run the country. It's the housing industry that runs the country.
I've always felt that way. Yep.
If the housing industry is healthy, then our country is healthy. And there are things that we need to do. You and I talk about it all the time, things we need to do in this country to get it even healthier. And we have smart people running this country at all levels. And I think we'll get there. I think it's a matter of time getting there. But things are looking up, especially for 2026.
Well, you know, you and I have been kind of railing on the idea that we haven't had enough inventory for the last many years. And during the last, 6 or 8 months of 25, we were reporting that builders were sitting in new homes that they had built and actually discounting them because the mortgage rates were too high or people had just been afraid of the market, so they stayed away. But this next year should be a really good year.
888-654 guys equals 888-654-4897. Give us a call with any and all of your housing questions.
So what do you think of the predicted trend for 2026 that people are going back to natural materials in homes? A lot more real wood, natural colors, kind of colors taken from nature, soapstone or butcher block countertops, that kind of stuff. What's your reaction to that?
Do you remember the Lisa?
Oh, yeah, I do.
That's my answer.
Apple family.
That's my answer. I love that house. The Lisa was a house, I believe, one of the last houses built by our dear late friend, Dave Campo.
Was that Novi?
It was in Northville. It was right at the corner of, it might have been Novi. It was right at the corner of.
I could picture it, but I couldn't tell you exactly what jurisdiction.
Back in 8 Mile area it was.
Yeah.
But it was an absolutely beautiful house. And on the exterior, it had no natural material. It was all composite. And Chuck, I have cedar shake trim on my house. And, you know, I did a big job last year to replace some of it. And I've already noticed some I have to do this coming up year. And if I could replace all of that with a composite wood, I could. How expensive would it be and how much time would it take?
Yeah.
It would make less maintenance. I would never have to worry about that stuff again. So I really like the fake stuff. I really do. I think it looks really good too.
Well, you and I have done an about face in the time we've been in this industry because for the longest time we didn't like a lot of the fake stuff. I'm trying to be polite here. It was out there, but we've fallen in love with the materials. But it's funny that all the things you're talking about are meant to look real and natural. They just aren't.
You're right. Hey, speaking of real and natural, we have a good friend calling right now who might have forgotten about us a little bit. Elizabeth, are you there?
I am. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
It's actually Christmas redo at my house this morning, so I'm sorry.
Are you opening gifts?
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering.
Am I what?
Opening gifts.
No, we're not doing that yet. Not everybody's here yet, so we're good. And I wouldn't miss talking to you guys, so sorry.
So you're actually having another Christmas today?
We are. There was lots of flu in our family, so there were lots of rescheduling. So, you know, it happens. We're getting through it.
You know, Ken and I have been forgotten and ignored by so many women. We just assumed you said the heck with it.
Not touching that one.
Elizabeth, we get to talk to you a couple times a year, and we're thrilled to have the opportunity. But two things that are kind of at the top of our heads. One is the upcoming Novi Home Show.
Yep.
Want to talk about that. And we also want to talk a little bit before we let you go today about women in construction, because that's a sure. huge issue near and dear to all of our hearts. So tell us about the Novi Home Show.
Well, the Novi Home Show is, 2 weeks away. 2 weeks from today will be the final day. It's January 16th through the 18th at what is now called the Vibe Credit Union Showplace.
What is it called?
It's the Vibe Credit Union Showplace. Well, the VIBE, Vibe Credit Union Showplace.
Okay.
Suburban Collection has been renamed as the Vibe Collection Showplace, and we're excited for that. So we have so much planned for that weekend. Patrick Richardson, the laundry evangelist, is coming back. He's going to do a laundry boot camp on Friday afternoon. He's going to present do all weekend long. We've got local expert designers and organizers who are going to be on the tips and trends stage all weekend long. Hundreds of exhibitors, over 250. So much happening. It's just going to be a great weekend.
It always is.
The laundry evangelist. What kind of stuff does he do?
So laundry is his jam. He's always loved it since he was a little kid, and he got a toy washer and dryer. He has a degree in textiles. He's worked in high-end couture at Nordstrom and Saks Fifth Avenue, and he's been on HGTV. And so laundry is just this thing. So he's got two books out. One is Laundry Love, and one is Love Your Home or Home Love. And he travels the country talking about laundry and giving tips and tricks. And boy, he was here last year, and I'm telling you, I have 7 pages of notes of things I was doing wrong.
So have you corrected all those things?
I've implemented a lot of them, and they've made a big difference. Yep. Absolutely.
And he has a very strong social media presence. People want to check
him out. He does.
Is he sponsored by Tide?
He is sponsored by Big Georgia's Appliances and Electrolux. And he has the Electrolux washer and dryer that he'll be demoing during the boot camp. And so Electrolux has been gracious to sponsor him again. They sponsored him last year, and we're just really happy to have him back.
So what's one thing on your 7 pages of notes that really jumped out at you?
So, well, it's a combination. So I no longer use dryer sheets. I use the wool dryer balls. Because Patrick says the dryer sheets are used in many places to repel mice. So why would you put that on your clothing? And what it does is it puts a coating on your clothing. So when you get a stain, it goes underneath that coating and you can't get it out. And then go ahead.
Well, we got a break coming up. I got to tell you, Elizabeth, you got a couple of men here that have known that tip for many years. Chuck and I haven't used dryer sheets for many, many years because of that reason.
Well, thanks for telling me.
That's a good one. We agree with it.
Hey, everybody out there, stick around for more. We're going to continue this conversation with our great friend Elizabeth Weiss from the Southeastern Michigan Home Builder Association, and get you fired up and get you out to the Vibe Collection Show Place coming up in 2 weeks. Stick around.
Welcome back, everybody. We appreciate you being with us. We want to remind everybody that we'll take calls after the top of the hour, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, cool. Sir. Right now we have Elizabeth Weiss, good friend of the show, good friend of the guys. Elizabeth worked for the Southeastern Michigan Home Builder Association, and we asked her on today for a couple reasons. First was, let's talk about the show. Let's get excited about the show. This is our winter show where everyone has been bottled in their house for a month or so and get out a balmy 70 degrees inside the Vibe Credit
Absolutely.
Union.
72 and sunny all weekend long.
I've got to get used to that new name, Elizabeth. Just help me out. It's going to take
a
few
weeks.
Okay.
We all do. It's the Vibe Credit Union Showplace. Yep. It's a new thing. We're excited for them.
Cool. So what else is going to be at the show?
Well, I want to tell people that for your listeners today through your show, if they text their name and Inside Outside Guys to 248-202-7300, we will give them a 4-pack of complimentary tickets. And then you can find all the information about the show on our website, which is novihomeshow.com, including a presentation schedule, when Patrick will be there, when all of our designers will be there. Our entire exhibitor list is there. We're just excited. It's going to be a great weekend.
So what was that phone number again?
It's 248-202-7300. Text their name and Inside Outside Guys, and we will have a 4-pack of tickets for them at will call.
So, can my wife do that?
What's that?
Can my wife do that?
Why would she want to?
Why would she want to?
She doesn't want something. No, I'm kidding.
She's welcome to come under the WJR umbrella.
Oh, God bless you. So what should people do? They should do that, obviously.
You can also go on our website and buy tickets for $3 off. Tickets are $12 for general admission, but if you go on our website and buy one through there, it's $3 off, so it's $9. There's a couple processing fees, so it shakes out to be, I think, 10-something, but it's $3 off.
Well, it's a great time. If people decide to show up, they will not be disappointed. And again, we want to make sure people do not leave their kids at home. You do not need a babysitter for this event because there are a lot of great things for kids to do there.
We do. And this time our Kids Zone is sponsored by ABC Warehouse, and they're going to have things all weekend long. I think they're having characters come during the weekend. They've got radio folks coming. There's going to be games and all sorts of things to do in that area. So absolutely don't leave the kids at home. No, this is a family friendly event.
Excellent. Excellent.
I'm excited about it. This is our time of year, Kent.
It is. It is. And we do feel, and I'll say it a lot, 2026, we're already getting really good vibes. We're already getting some great emails, people doing some big projects out there coming up in 2026. And we just want to remind people this is a great place to come and check out all your different options.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, we talked about this all the time. You know, why bring people to your home when you can go to the Novi Home Show with your project and your details and your questions and interview multiple companies under one roof, and then find that company that resonates with you, and then bring them to your home and show them their project.
Nice job. Well spoken. You know, Ken and I have been advocates of good, strong women in this industry for years. Mm-hmm. We know you are too. You want to talk a little bit to that issue?
I mean, could we have more women in construction? Absolutely. 100%. Yes. We need to get to girls in elementary school and explain to them the career path that's available for them in construction and the multiple different ways. Project management, architecture, design, boots on the ground, be an electrician, you know, work in drywall, be a carpenter. There's so many options, and so many of those trades, there are programs pay you to go to school, and when you graduate, they'll help you find a job, so you have no student debt and you're working right away. And there are it's just a great avenue for women. It really is. I hope that we can continue to get more women into construction because there's so many opportunities there.
And I'm going to say this, and it's I hope it doesn't sound Chuckish.
That's a new one.
The only thing women don't have in the construction industry that men do have is strength. And I don't mean that as a bad issue. They have anything we can do with our minds, a woman can do with their mind. Anything we can do with our hands, a woman can do with her hands. They just may need some help picking up a chunk of concrete or picking up a furnace. That's it. Besides that, we need to get them in the industry yesterday because we need people in the industry. I love how much I travel and I see so many women truckers out there. We never saw those a year ago. Now they're all over the road, and you're not hearing anything about anything going wrong out there. I think it was very, I don't want to say sexist, very blind of our industry not to get women into the industry years ago.
No, I think you're right. I mean, going back to, when I was in high school, elementary school, shop class was for boys, and girls took home ec. And it's different now, thank goodness. But it is, and we have to get our male tradesmen to work with us to bring more women into the industry.
Elizabeth, has it been your experience that women are treated well when they're appropriately placed in the industry?
I mean, in my experience, yes. Have we heard the stories of negative treatment? Yes. But but sure. they're fewer and far between. Women belong in this industry, and they've proven themselves time and again on the job site.
And I believe the sexist men out there are leaving the industry. If anyone acted that way around Chuck and I, we would call them out on it. We would Absolutely. Let them have it. I think that's happening more and more in the industry where women are just being accepted. I mean, Chuck and I went to CNC Heating and Cooling and sat down with their people, and there were four or five women there, and they love what they do. They love being part of that team over in CNC, and there's no reason as teachers, the educators out there should not start pointing young ladies into those traits.
Oh, absolutely. My son is an electrician, and he loves to call me and tell me, Mom, I was on a site today and there was all these women. I worked with a woman carpenter today or a woman electrician, and she was great, and she knew more than I did.
Love it. You know, yeah. Ken mentioned the physicality, and the reality is, like, farming, construction has gotten far less physical. There are so many assists, you know, mechanical and otherwise, that's almost moot.
Yeah.
Elizabeth, we look forward.
I gave you a great list, Chuck, of women in construction, and I hope you call them and talk to them of, you know, about their experiences and what they think as well. Because
we're going to do that after the show. We're going to have a series over a few weeks.
Yep. Just know this, Elizabeth. You are our go-to gal when it comes to women in construction.
I appreciate that. I'm looking forward to seeing you guys and having you back on the show floor, Chuck. I will have your coffee ready.
God bless you. You enjoy your family today.
I will do that. Thank you so much, you guys. Happy New Year, and let it be a good and safe and healthy one for all of us.
Same to you, Elizabeth. Thank you. Stick around for more with the Inside Outside, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Welcome back, everybody. Appreciate you being with us. 888-654-4897 is the number to call. We'd love to chat with you. We want to thank Ashley for doing such a great job back at World Headquarters, and Elizabeth Weiss for taking time out of a family day,
Event. Yes.
Thank you for spending with us.
I get it. Yeah. Even on the air, sometimes you get a hard stop.
That was a hard stop.
Yeah. 800-859-0957. We have an hour left to answer any and all of your housing questions. How about a question like radon, Chuck? What should people be worried about when it comes to radon in Southeast Michigan?
Maybe nothing.
But we get
some emails from people that have a very low reading, and they go, oh my gosh, you know, we got to get remediation, we got to do all this, and you and I will probe a little deeper and find out, you know what, you really don't need to do anything.
You really don't need to do anything. We had someone recently that had a 5. They had a reading of 5 picocuries, and the standard is 4. And with a reading like 5, there are ways that homeowners can get those numbers down without putting a mitigation system in. And let me say something else. When a company comes in and puts a mitigation system in, the first thing they do is seal every crack and opening in your floor. Because as that mitigation system's going, they don't want the air to come through the cracks and go right back out. So that's what you should do before you should do that no matter what. If you have a basement, you should go down there and you should seal that seam where the floor meets the wall and any other cracks that are in that basement floor. And you could get the readings down simply by doing something like that.
That's great advice. You know, it's and really by sealing the floor itself, because moisture wicking through the floor may carry radon with it. So if you stop that activity, heck yes. I love the idea. And also, where did the reading come from? So many people or companies, sadly, will take a reading right at the sump pump. Well, heck, right. You're going to get your highest readings where there's open water.
That makes perfect sense. And like you say, when it comes to mold, there are pockets. So you just don't want to put it in one spot. You want to get 4 or 5, put it around the basement, maybe a couple upstairs, and then average the readings at that point.
Yeah, good advice. I like that. You know, we wrote that article about land development, and we get people that ask us, why is dirt so expensive? That's crazy. You know, they want $80,000 for that lot. And we tried to explain some of that. But, you know, Ken, I uncovered an issue that we used to talk about years ago where a developer tried to save money, tried to, you know, develop more economically. did a large project. I think it was several hundred acres, but he got all his approvals for three phases.
Okay.
Which actually lowers the cost of, you know, the lot to people that are going to buy the lots. And he developed phase one and built it all out and sold it, developed phase two, built it all out and sold it, went to get the final permits for phase three, and homeowners that had moved into one and two had been using that vacant land for forts and walking paths and to plant natural flowers and all this stuff. Long story short, when he went to develop that third phase, the homeowners who had no ownership rights sued him to stop the development.
What did it cost him?
Yeah, exactly.
For property that wasn't even theirs. That's good advice for people who are thinking about buying a new home. And Chuck, let's talk about what would make one piece of dirt more expensive than another piece of dirt. Stick around for more with the Inside Outside guys, WTKA, WLBY, WJR.
888-654-4897. Love to hear from you. You know, Ken, we've got a brilliant audience. Elizabeth mentioned that if people could get a free 4-pack of tickets to the Novi Home Show coming up simply by texting their name and Inside Outside guys to 248-202-7300. And a whole bunch of people have already done it.
I bet they have. And I just text Elizabeth. She has not answered me yet. Ask me how often she wants us to give that number out, because we could probably fill up the place with free tickets if we wanted to.
You know what? If you're an exhibitor, you just want to get good people walking through the show that own a home and might do something in the next 10 years. So that's how it works.
Absolutely right.
I like it. I like it a lot. You know, we talked about one of the trends for the upcoming home building season of being more natural products or natural looking products. And I thought it was ironic. You mentioned the fake sidings, if you will, but everything is made to look like wood or stone. So it's not a real product, but it's meant to look like a real product.
Called a faux product.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't know you spoke French, but hey.
Oui, oui. Well, look at the stones that are out there. The culture stones are out there. Same thing.
It's amazing. It's really cool. So curved furniture forms and curved features in houses, like rounded archways like you used to see in the older homes, the old plaster walls, are coming back. Are you going to buy any new furniture this year, you and your bride?
I don't believe we have any plans. At least I hope we don't have any plans.
We don't. I hope we don't.
That's my best way to put it.
If she redoes that bathroom suite off your main bedroom, you think you'll incorporate any of these features?
No, she's not doing that. That's not happening.
Whoa. That's not happening.
Yeah, well, whatever. Once in a while, a man has to put down the law. We are not doing any we are not this year doing it. I've done a major remodel project about every year at my house.
Yes, you have. You've lost a lot of hair.
This year, I think we're going to relax some more. I've been waiting to finish those two water features I want to get done. And that'll be something I'll do myself.
That'll be fun.
And yeah, it will be fun, but got to wait to better weather. And it's something I'll do myself, but nothing on the interior this year. So, cool. Hey, before we went to break, I asked the question, what would make one piece of dirt more expensive than another piece of dirt? Yep. When we say dirt, everyone, we mean land to develop on, whether that's a single unit or a whole bunch of units, a new subdivision. What would make one more attractive and more expensive than the other, Chuck?
Now, let's start with a developer. Developer's going to go buy 100 acres. What makes it more attractive to him or her?
Good point, yeah.
Level land is a lot more appealing than land that's rolling and has a lot of deep ravines and those kinds of things, or even water features like creeks, because all of those cost a lot more money to develop. That'd be one.
Yep.
Soil composition and load bearing ability.
It's huge.
Yeah. It's huge. Proximity to a utility system that you could actually tie into. So if there's a city nearby that has a sewer system that you can tie into, that is tremendously huge. you know, in our article, we wrote about a developer. I want to say he was over in kind of near the South Lyon area, maybe 10 to 15 years ago, that had a huge parcel of land he wanted to develop, and it was needed. You know, housing, there was a lot of growth out there.
Yeah.
And none of the surrounding jurisdictions would allow him to tie into sewer or water. So he was kind of at a standstill. We put him in touch with a guy that is just a genius in the state of Michigan, Dan Mylan, regarding self-contained sewer and water systems. And they designed a sewer system for this guy's development. So literally they built a private waste disposal system that became actually a water feature in the third stage of, you know, the sewer purification. And he said, the heck with it. So he became independent, and the homeowners just pay a monthly fee to support the maintenance of their own system.
Where there's a budget and where there's a will, there's usually a way. You just got to find a way to do it. 888-654-GUYS equals 888-654-4897. Let's talk to Larry in Avon Lake, Ohio. Good morning, Larry. You're on with the guys. Uh-oh. Larry, you're on a bad cell, my friend. We're having a hard time hearing you. I think.
Are you going to blame Ohio, Ken?
I love Ohio. I just don't like their football team. That's all. And it's, yeah, we don't hear you now.
You don't like the Akron Zips?
Larry, are you with us, buddy? Nope. Having a hard time with the cell.
Call back, Larry.
Yep. Yep. Larry's asking about well, he says right here, heating an unheated hallway.
Yeah.
And a lot of times in the old days, they would not bother putting any kind of returns or any kind of vents inside those hallways because nobody lived in those hallways. They were just passing through.
Sure.
But they sure do get cold. And there's other consequences to that, like we talk about. So what would you do to heat a hallway, Chuck?
You know, if I had a basement or crawl space underneath, the best way would be to introduce, you know, conditioned air. So extend a piece of the ductwork and put a boot in the floor and just, you know, provide conditioned air that way. That would be the cheapest, easiest, best way if I could.
If you could, and maybe one of the reasons you couldn't is it's a boiler system or something like that. Would you put a electronic radiant heat in that hallway on the side?
You know, you could do the radiant floor, which is a great idea. You could do the infrared in the ceiling, which again would be unobtrusive. So many of the older houses, you know, the hallways, I'm afraid to put too much in the hallway that's a physical thing because it might intrude on the space. But an electric baseboard is...
That's the word I was looking for. That's what I was looking for. Right.
Yeah, that's an inexpensive retrofit, and it wouldn't take up much space per se. And if you didn't want it, you could turn it right off, and it, you know, wouldn't cost you a nickel to run if you turned it off.
Good point. Yeah, but you don't want to put too much in there because you don't want toe stubbers.
No, and if you realistically, I mean, let's say the average hallway length is 15 feet-ish. You know, if you put a 5-foot length of electric baseboard in there, that would do far more than you ever needed in that space. I mean, you turn it on low, you would get heat in that
space. So right.
And it would create convective air movement, so you wouldn't have stagnant air if you opened a door at each end of the hallway or something. You're going to get air moving through, so the rest of the house will benefit from that heat generation too. So that's a good question.
And the most expensive part of all that would be the actual unit and installing the unit. Once you plug it in, it's not going to cost very much to run it all because, like you said, you're going to put it on low. You're never going to need it on high.
Oh, I do that, you know, in places in homes I build, you know, as supplemental heat. And even to have a master electrician come in, you know, Metro Electric or Oak or someone, Bratcher, it's not expensive to have them run a separate 20-amp circuit, hang a thermostat on an interior hollow wall, and put a 5-foot length of baseboard in. It really is not a very costly thing to do.
You're right. You're 100% right. I like it. So good question, Larry, even though we didn't get your question. Hopefully we
know. We're so intelligent, we presume your question. You know, Ken, you asked me what would make one piece of dirt more affordable than another or more appealing than another. Freeway access or highway access is another big big thing. I've told my son for decades, if you've got a freeway exit, I don't care if you're driving through Indiana or Nebraska, eventually that land is going to be developed because of the easy on-off. It might be a distribution center, it might be a gas station, it might be a party store, but at some point you're going to see development there.
Well, that's a great point. The easier you can get to places, Andy. I mean, that's one of the reasons you chose the spot where you built your last house, right?
Absolutely. You know, I needed access to an airport and to a lot of freeways because I was on the road a lot at that point in time. And that's huge. We built in a new subdivision primarily for that reason, you know, right. Accessibility.
Right, right. 888-654-GUYS equals 888-654-4897. Or you can call the WJR line, 800-859-0957. Chuck and I are here for the next little more than half an hour to take any and all of your housing questions.
You know what's interesting, too? One of the trends we're seeing, we mentioned one earlier about the healthy indoor environment.
Yes.
That's supposed to be an emerging trend, but you and I have been talking about it for a couple decades. But again, good, healthy water in your house, good, healthy air in your house. But the shower rooms, having a shower instead of a tub, turning the large bathroom into almost a spa where you might have a small heating unit in there, you know, to provide extra heat or steam or that kind of thing, or a bigger shower that's more convenient, you know, that's not a big step over. So it's interesting that things you and I have been talking about for 15, 18 years are starting to be trends now.
You're right. You're right. Housing information you can trust. We have our pulse on the building world, especially here in the state of Michigan. So what if somebody, you mentioned something about access to utilities and easy tap-ins. What if you're in the country and you know you're not going to be able to tap into any of those things? You're not going to be able to tap into electrical or the sewer. What are the options for homeowners?
You know, that's a great question because, again, affordability, because some people go, well, I can get an acre out here for $40,000. You know, I go, well, yeah, but does it have road access? A culvert, a driveway by itself is very expensive if it's not there.
Right.
You have to cut down a bunch of trees to build your house. Well, yeah, it's fully forested. Well, that's not necessarily a positive because you've got to have a place for your driveway and your house. And then you're going to have to build a septic system based on what you said, which is not only expensive, but you've got to clear a piece of land to accommodate it.
With the evaporative septic fields that they have now, is it just as important that the land perk properly?
Yes. It's funny that you say that. I shouldn't say just as important because the notion of land, the perks, you know, historically is that if you put a bunch of water in a hole in the ground, it would go down into the ground over time. And you'd have a dry hole.
A drainable soil.
Yeah. So we call that perking. And today they're building systems that literally rest on top of the land with like clay. A clay bowl, if you will, that won't let water down into the soil and contaminate the aquifer below. So it shouldn't be quite as important, and theoretically it's not, but they still think that way in some health departments, which is kind of weird.
Yeah, just to give the listeners an idea, years ago I bought a piece of property, and I wasn't anywhere near as knowledgeable. I think I was 29 when I bought 4 acres out in northern Oakland County. And okay. I didn't know much about the perk issue at the point.
Sure.
And when we had, I remember having the county out to take a look at the soil. I had to have a mini excavator on site and two engineers from Oakland County came out. And I swear, Chuck, they were just out of college. They looked like they were just out of high school. And I remember thinking then these two young guys are going to make the decision on this for me. And the first holes we dug, we probably dug 4 or 5 of them that were all clay, did not perk. I finally went to an extreme far area of the property, dug a hole, and I got them to approve a perk. And I was very lucky because it was dry then. And if it would have been wet, I wouldn't have gotten approved. But that might have been one of the reasons that I got the land less expensive. And if the landowner would have known it was perked, it probably would have been priced another $10,000.
Today, that'd be an automatic. And of course, in the question you originally asked, you'd have to put a water well in too.
Right.
And you may not have natural gas, so you'd be using propane, which is more expensive. So what appears to be inexpensive dirt may not be inexpensive when you factor in all the things it takes to make it viable.
And we had to cut down our driveway. We had pure forest, and we cut down some huge trees to make that driveway. We had to put a little bridge over top of a stream. It had to put a culvert in.
That's expensive. So
that's expensive, and that's probably why I got the property for a little less. I'm not sure if we have time. You want to try to take Tony's call now? Let's give it a try. Tony from
Harper Woods?
Harper Woods?
Yep. Yes, sir.
How can we help you, sir?
How do you get rid of that, I don't know if it's mold on your shower head, that black stuff or dark stuff that could accumulate on your shower head in the shower?
Oh, okay. On the shower head, that's just usually deposits. And if you could fill up a cup or a bowl full of vinegar and soak that in there for a while, that will really help it.
Maybe a shower cap or a freezer bag.
There you go. And then an old toothbrush or an old scrub brush. Let that sit there for a little while and get that stuff right off of there.
Oh, okay. It's not mold.
Not on the shower head. No.
Thank you. Happy New Year, guys.
Thank you, Tony. We'll talk about it a little bit when we get back from break. You're listening to the Inside Outside Guys, taking your phone calls, 800-859-0957.
Welcome back, everybody. Hey, text your name and Inside Outside Guys to 248-202-7300 for a free 4-pack of tickets to the upcoming Novi Home Show. How cool.
We are looking forward to it. We always enjoy those home shows.
I know it. Yeah, I was just thinking of Tony's call there. we did get a chance because we kind of rushed him, but manganese is a real common black substance to show up in a faucet or two. It may not show up in everyone in your house, but it, might show up in a shower or main floor bath, whatever. And that's just a benign mineral that's found in a lot of water. So your suggestion, to use a freezer bag or something around the shower head full of vinegar, white vinegar, to clean that off is a good one. Could be decaying gaskets or, rubber parts from other faucets throughout the system, right?
Sure. Yep.
So you do want to run the water before you drink it, just in case that's what it is. And there is a bacteria that will feed on minerals in the water that's pretty benign, and it shows up as black also, as kind of a gooey slime around the faucet heads.
You know, Chuck, I always let my faucets run a few minutes before I mess with them. I never drink it or let it touch my body until a few seconds.
Yeah.
Before I touch it. Anything sitting in the pipes, I want out before I use it.
Yeah, and I think that's good advice. I think copper pipes are still the best for creating that worry, if you will. But any, like you said, any water that sits in a plastic pipe or a galvanized steel pipe or everybody knows a lead pipe is going to pick up things from that pipe. And if you just run it, flush it before you use it for cooking or bathing or drinking, it's good practice.
The PEX pipes are very, very popular, especially over the last 10, 20 years.
And there's a lot we like about them.
There's a lot we like about them, but the hot water side, you heat those plastic pipes up in the hot water side, you could get microplastics coming through. If you do the research on it, they'll tell you they can off gas or off water, whatever you want, into the existing water.
You're right.
So let it run. Just let it run for a couple of seconds before you use any water. It's just a good
thing. Yeah, get microscopic particulate, right?
Exactly. Now, for anyone else out here that heard that call from Tony, if you simply take your faucet cap off, the very faucet right where the water comes out, and you scrub that with a toothbrush and some soapy water, you'd be really surprised how much more water comes out of that spigot just by doing something that simple. Now, you may need to grab like a, remember the old flat rubber things we used to use to open jars years ago? You may need something like that around a pair of pliers to open that, because those tend to get real tight. But once you open it and you pull it off, you clean it with an old toothbrush, you'll be surprised how much, how better your water flows.
I agree. You know, we keep a medium bristle brush on a small scrubber in the shower. It's the best time to clean a shower is when you're using it, or just before you use it. But I will use that brush on the shower head once in a while, because we will get a little bit of manganese every once in a while. It'll plug up the little holes. And if you just lightly hit that with a medium bristle brush, that's all it takes in our case.
Now, do me a favor. Without getting too explicit, please, 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 tell people your routine once you get out of the shower.
You know, I dry off inside the shower. And I use that same towel to wipe down the inside of the shower. And it might, and it's funny you say that, because I think about this. How long does it take me to do that? You know, we've got a decent sized shower that's glass, mostly glass. And I'll bet it does not take me 40 seconds to wipe it down with that same towel.
I'm really surprised your wife's okay with glass.
I locked the door so she doesn't have to look.
Okay, good. Nobody wants to see the hat.
No, I agree with you.
So one of the reasons you do that is to minimize humidity in your home. Now, you do it to clean, and you do it to keep that tile dry, which is important. But people who don't have a shower door, so when you leave the shower, you leave that door open, correct?
Correct.
The shower door open. Okay. Yep. So people who have curtains, what should they do to minimize humidity?
It's funny you say that, because there's a place we stay down south all the time that's got the curtain. And I make sure that curtain is open on both ends and pulled toward the middle.
Yes.
So air can move in and out of that space and dry it out.
Yep. And what you do basically is you help control, by doing that, you're helping control the humidity in the house. You're helping to keep the lifespan of that tile, because if the tile sits there wet, it's not going to last as long.
Plus, you don't have to clean it. You know, you don't have to do that hard scrub that takes you 4 hours. We get emails from people all the time. I've got these stains that have been up my grout in my shower for 3 years, and I want to get rid of them. It's like, why did you let them build up for 3 years is my first question that I don't ask.
Right. While you're in the shower is the best time to take care of it.
Heck yes. And you've got a towel that, as far as I'm concerned, is dirty after you use it. So why not wipe the shower down with that towel? And like you said, too, you were talking, I think, at the beginning of the first segment or the second segment of the first hour about de-stratifying. You know, if that space no longer is concentrated water, you've wiped 80% of the water away, then you're less likely to have mold and other things grow in that space.
100%. 100%. Do you turn your bathroom fan on every time you take a shower?
I tend to do it more in the summertime and the early fall and the spring when the humidity is higher.
Okay.
When the air is dry this time of year, I don't worry about it quite as much, because A, we have a really big space there. But B, you know as well as I do, the air tends to have far less humidity at this time of year too.
Gotcha. Hey, for everyone out there during the week, if you need anything, let's say you decide you want to remodel your bathroom, or you think you want to replace some plugs, simply go to theinsideoutsideguys.com and you'll find companies there like Rebath of Michigan, Ratcher Electric, Paramount Roofing, Kearns Roofing. The Inside Outside Guys has the best, and we believe this, the best contractors in Michigan. So you may not have a brother or a sister or a good friend in the industry. You got better. You have the Inside Outside Guys here for you 24/7 at theinsideoutsideguys.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Remember, if you text your name and Inside Outside Guys to 248-202-7300, you can get a free, 4-pack of tickets to the upcoming No Buy Show. I love the word free.
Your favorite word in the dictionary, isn't it?
It's fast becoming that, I'll tell you. You know, another upcoming trend, I was just listening to the ads that are playing. Next year, they literally tell us, is bifold doors to replace the conventional sliding doors or the stationary window bank, you know, that overlooks the pond out back or the pool. And we've got Michigan Folding Door. Are they going to be at the home show, do you know?
Probably. Yeah.
They usually are, Eric. Yeah. But I'll tell you, if you have not seen his product, what high quality it is. I mean, it is. If I was building today, that would definitely be incorporated into my design.
Yeah, if you live in a house that has a beautiful view out the back and you just can't get enough glass back there, and you'd probably think that you can't do anything else back there.
Yeah.
Well, we're here to tell you that you can, and you need to contact Eric Brakey, and he can put some beautiful, beautiful doors back there, glass back there that you can see that view and guarantee it. I mean, the biggest issue with doing something like that, of course, is the span that you have to do and the support for that span. And he has made it an art.
He's done some beautiful installations. I'm telling you, if you go to the show, look up his booth and his exhibit, because he can show you some stuff that will just knock your socks off. I mean, you and I have been in the business for 200 years, sometimes it feels like. But it takes a lot for something to make us go, wow, that's really cool.
You're right.
And I still look at that product, and I think that is really cool. I love it.
You're absolutely. Chuck, earlier this week, I posted a couple pictures at the Inside Outside Guy social media. And you know how you and I... Let's be honest. We don't like the new chimney chases. We're old school. We like a real brick chimney. We just do. More expensive. They were harder to build.
Even the fireplaces I do.
Yeah, in the fireplaces. But now what they do with the homes, they put an insert into the fireplaces that was made somewhere else. And then there's a mute button right there, bud. And they use a double wall, sometimes a triple wall pipe going up the chase. And the chase is basically the chimney you guys see from the outside.
Yeah.
Well, as a lot of people do around Christmas, they just think it's okay to throw all that wrapping paper. The whole family's around and they take all that wrapping paper and they throw it into the fireplace. You could probably get away with that with a brick chimney. We still don't recommend it, but you can get away with it a lot safer and easier with a brick chimney than you can a chase chimney that is just vinyl siding and maybe some cheap particle board. A house, the chimney actually caught on fire. Once the chase burnt, all you saw was the pipe sticking up. It's still like it was before the fire happened, but the chase was gone. And we can guarantee you that was because they made too hot of a fire in that fireplace. There's just no, whether it was wrapping paper or not, I'm guessing it was because the time of year, what happened is that steel pipe got so hot, it melted everything around that chase and caused a fire on the chase.
So you can have spontaneous combustion in a situation like that. If you think about it, the wood frame, wood is a fire fuel.
Yes.
It's mostly carbon. And if you can picture wood that you've scorched with a torch that turns black, it becomes like a charcoal, and it actually has a lower ignition point, so it'll start on fire at a lower heat than it would have when it was a regular 2x4. So when you have that situation you describe where you just constantly expose that wood frame in the chase to intense heat, it'll carbonize and the ignition point will go lower on the frame until one day you have what they call spontaneous combustion, right?
And all you do is you look out the window and you say, what's that flashing out the window? Then you realize that it's your house and your chase. Now, for anyone listening that has those fireplaces, okay, those fireplaces are not meant for heat. Those fireplaces are meant for ambiance. That's it. Just ambiance, just to have a fire that you can see. Even the true fireplaces that were built with a masonry firebox and a masonry chimney and a flue liner, In the old days, they used them for heat when they had to, but those are not a heating source for your house. They're never going to be an efficient. Yeah, not an efficient heating source for your house.
That's a good way to say it. Yeah.
So instead of trying to heat your house with them, just use them for ambiance. You know, most people only light their fires or have a fire come Christmas time or Thanksgiving or right at the beginning of the heating season. But absolutely make sure your chimney is safe before you do any of that. Before you do any of that, make sure the chimney is safe.
Yeah, we've got people at the InsideOutsideGuys.com, you know, that can take care of that professionally for you. Don't do it yourself. It's not a do-it-yourself thing. You know, John McFarland from McFarland Painting gave us another great tip, Ken. I like it. The tendency, if you're going to paint a room, four walls, is to go around that whole room and cut it in and then decide you're going to get your rollers out after that. John says, look, do one wall at a time. Cut in one wall, finish that wall, and then move to the next wall. He said you tend to get a better job, more complete coverage, fewer brush marks, and if anybody knows, John does, right?
That's good advice. That's really good advice. We have professionals at the Inside Outside Guys, professionals like John McFarland, like Shelby Mechanical, Ron Alexander. These are guys, they understand some people want to try to do it themselves.
Yeah,
and believe it or not, what these owners of these companies want, that if you're going to try to do it yourself, to do it right. These guys are more than happy to give you tips. If you give them a call, you tell them, look, the guy said I could speak to fill in the blank. They'll help give you tips so you can do it yourself. They want you to be safe. They want to make sure you're able to use your plumbing. And one thing I'm going to reiterate, what Ryan Alexander says all the time is he does not have garbage disposals in his house.
Either one of his houses.
I think that is so telling that a plumber does not install garbage disposals because he knows the potential problems of them.
Yeah, I mean, the problem with those are like toilets. You know, we're over the decades, we've just gotten lazy and sloppy. We dump everything down that kitchen drain because there is a disposal.
Right.
You flush everything down that toilet because, gosh, it magically disappears. And we can be doing great harm to the house by doing
Yes. it. Yes. And you know what? It's, I have greatly, I'm saying 98% cut down on my use of the garbage disposal. Everything goes in the garbage now. If it's liquid,
I took mine off.
You don't even have a garbage disposal anymore?
No, sir. Not really? At either house. Nope.
Good for you. Either house. Jeez. How many houses do you have?
12. No, I don't. I'm kidding. But I agree with Ron, and I have for all my life, but it never occurred to me to just get rid of that stupid garbage disposal. But I did a few years ago when I replaced the sink.
You know, and
makes sense.
People our age, we're used to doing without. When we first moved into our existing home, we didn't have a microwave for the first 4 or 5 years.
Wow.
It was just up there, and we didn't care.
I can't imagine not having one.
And we were fine without it. Sure, and you're I fine without the garbage, without garbage disposal. We're spoiled microwaves. Yeah. We're spoiled as a society without it. Now, hey, everyone, thank you so much for tuning in today and yesterday. We really appreciate all you guys do for us. You guys being a fan of the Inside Outside Guys and using our team partners mean everything to us.
Yeah, and we appreciate, Ashley, what you did in the past. You had an uncle in the furniture business. Now you got the guys in the construction business for
you go.
Every day.
Elizabeth Weiss, thank you very much. Everyone else, we'll talk to you soon. You've listened to the Inside Outside Guys, WTKAWLBY WJR.